Good morning, church. So good to see you. So good to be together. Grateful for your presence. And those who are visiting, we're glad you came to worship with us. We want to offer you to come back at any time. This morning, title of the lesson, Are You Pursuing Holiness? Something we don't hear a lot about. But I think we need to hear it this morning, and not because it's special, but we don't hear enough about holiness and what holiness is. And I want to begin here to show you why this is so important to know if you're pursuing holiness or not. We're going to begin, that was read a while ago, Hebrews chapter 12. This tells us the seriousness of this. Look at verse 14. He says, pursue peace with all men. Let's just begin there. Being people of God, you know what our pursuit should be? What we go after? Peace. We should be people, when there's conflicts arise, that we look for a peaceful resolution. You should never be creating obstacles. Pursue peace with all men. Look at the next statement. And the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. The sanctification. Specific. Sanctification is not a word we hear a lot about today. Now, if you've been here for a while, you know from time to time we talk a little about sanctification. Sanctification is where the Lord has taken you and set you apart as holy to God. You and I, because of Christ Jesus, have been set apart from everything else in this world. And we're set apart as holy. And you know why this is so vital that you need to pursue the sanctification? He says at the end of verse 14, without which no one will see the Lord. If you're not pursuing holiness, the sanctification, you're not going to see the Lord. It's that serious. Well, what do we mean when we talk about holiness or the sanctification? Come back to chapter 2 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 11. We talked about this in our Sunday morning class going through the book of Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 11. For both He, Jesus, who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason, He's not ashamed to call them brethren. The sanctification. Jesus has sanctified us. He's from God. He's holy. He was set apart as holy to God. And those of us now are in Christ, we too are sanctified. And you notice the verb tense, are sanctified. Right now, you are set apart as holy to God. God is holy, and those who belong to God are set apart as holy. And we need to pursue that holiness that Jesus has brought us into. And He said, for which reason He's not ashamed to call them brethren. By being sanctified, you know what Jesus isn't ashamed of? You and I may have lived some ways and done things in our past that were shameful, but now that we've been set apart as holy to God, He's not ashamed to call you brother, to call you sister. He calls us brethren. My brother, Jesus. Your brother, Jesus. The Holy One. And we've been set apart, and that's what we've got to pursue. Let me show you when that happened. Why don't you come back to Romans 6 with me? Romans chapter 6. You know, it's really a great chapter. Romans 6, we've always seen it. It's a chapter of what it means to be baptized into Christ, baptized into His death, and the forgiveness of our sins. Romans 6 is about your baptism. But I want you to see down beginning in verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You know what? When we were in our sins, before we were baptized into Christ, God did not expect you to practice what's right. God did not expect you to pursue holiness. No, you're free because sin has encompassed you. Verse 21, therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? The things that you practiced in your past before Christ, what was the benefit of those things? What did they benefit you in regard to God? Look at the end of verse 21. For the outcome of those things is death. The best you and I were getting before Christ, before we entered Christ, was death. That's what we could expect and that's what will happen. What was that? What's that benefit? But now, look, things have changed. Verse 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. The benefit now, because of Christ, we have been sanctified. We are sanctified. And there's a benefit to sanctification, eternal life. Without pursuing the sanctification, without pursuing holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. You're not going to derive the benefit. The benefit is death. So you can see the value of being sanctified in Christ Jesus. We are sanctified, and that the outcome of that sanctification is for eternal life. You and I will make it to God if we pursue the sanctification, what Christ brought us to. We understand that the death of Jesus sanctified us. Our word saint comes from that word sanctification. Now, what I want to do, I want to kind of turn us back to something. Let's let God define what it means to be holy. And we do have it in Scripture. And we can go all the way back to the Old Testament, and we can see where God told His people what it means to be sanctified, what it means to be holy. Before I go back, I want to do one more. 1 Peter. I want you to look at 1 Peter 1. I didn't want to leave this out. This is vital. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 14 and keep a marker in 1 Peter because we're going to come right back to it once we leave it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14. Notice what he calls us. As obedient children, you and I must be obedient to the Lord. We obeyed the Lord when we were baptized into Christ. And as a result of that baptism, we possess sanctification. As obedient children, do not be conformed to your former lusts before you came into Jesus, which were yours in your ignorance. You know, before we learned anything about who Christ was and what He did for us, we just lived normal lives. Lives like everyone else lived. And you know why we did it? Because we were ignorant. We were ignorant of the outcome of death. Didn't know anything about that. And so he says, don't return to your former way of life. Don't go back to what you were before, doing the things you did before. Look at verse 15. but like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That is the Old Testament quote that we're going to see how he identifies holiness. God expects us now in Jesus to have holy behavior. Because if you don't, you're not going to see the Lord. Well, let's go back to where this quote comes from out of the Old Testament. Now we can go back. Keep this marked. Come back to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Look at verse 22 and look what they were warned of. Leviticus 20, beginning in verse 22. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them, so that the land which I'm bringing you to live will not spew you out. What did he expect of these people of his back there? To keep my ordinances and statutes. Follow my word and what I teach. Look at verse 23. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation, which I will drive out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. Where he was bringing them, guess what the people were doing? They had their own customs, they had their own ideas, and God commanded them, you listen to me and you follow me, don't follow their customs, because I abhorred what they were doing. You know what God did when we were in our sins? He too abhorred us in our sins, because sin creates that separation between you and God. Jesus sanctified us. He brought us before this holy God, and we are a holy people. Let's continue on as he continued. First thing was, don't follow their customs. 24. Hence I have said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. Did you pick up on the next words? God separated you from among all the other peoples. When we talk about holiness, you're not to follow the customs of those around. We're not to follow what they do. God has separated us now in Christ Jesus from all of those around. Holiness, being separated to God. Sanctified. Let's see what else that means. Verse 25. You are therefore to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, between the unclean bird and the clean. You shall not make yourselves detestable by any animal or bird or anything that creeps on the ground, which I have separated for you as unclean. Now, we don't have birds and unclean food today. Jesus declared all foods are clean. But did you pick up how he describes holiness? I've separated for you. And you, my people, have got to make distinctions. What is clean and what is unclean. That's what holiness is. It's making a distinction. And we're going to get a New Testament illustration of this in just a second. Holiness, separated to God, separated different from the people. God looks at me different. God looked at them different, and he expected them to make distinctions. Sometimes within the church, we're not making great distinctions between us and the customs of people around us. We just kind of do what everybody else says do. That's the wrong move. That's not holiness. That's not pursuing the sanctification. Let's continue on. Look at verse 26. Thus you are to be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. And I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. You see, there we get it. You are to be holy. That's where Peter makes his quote from. Because I'm holy. And now that we've entered into Christ, and now all of our sins were washed away, guess who you are? Guess who I am? You're holy. God made us that. Jesus made us that. We're all from the same Father. You can't have a relationship, and you're not going to end up in the end with God if you're not making distinctions. What's holy? What's unholy? That's the definition of holiness. You've got to make a distinction. Now let's come back to 1 Peter, and we'll see this. 1 Peter, we're going to go into chapter 4. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. And look at where he brings us to. He brings up, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Jesus is from a holy Father. And guess what Jesus did? Did he suffer in the flesh? And why did he suffer? Because Jesus made a distinction between himself and the rest of the people. Jesus pursued the sanctification of God because he's from a sanctified Father, a holy Father. And so he said, you know what? Whenever you separate yourself, you're going to suffer in the flesh because you're stopping the sin. And that's why they killed Jesus. They did not like him being separated from them. And now he's taken us and he's separated us from the world around. He's made a distinction. And he's supposed to make a distinction for you. He looks at us as a separated people to himself. And in that separation, we are to pursue the sanctification to which we were called into. Now, here's where we begin. And he begins to bring this into focus. Look at verse 2. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Don't let people's customs and people's ideas and people's ways pull you over. We're going to live the rest of our time on this earth because we are sanctified in Christ, not for what man says and man wants, but for the will of God. And what's God's will? To make distinctions. What is holy, what is clean, what is unclean. We're separated. I want to keep you keeping that before your minds. Keep it in your ears. You and I are to pursue the sanctification to which we were called into. And if you're not pursuing it, you're not going to see the Lord. So the question is, are we pursuing the holiness of the will of God? Now he's going to bring about in the next verse here, starting in verse 3. As he begins to explain, let's read the first part, then we'll go into the different ones. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. The Gentiles, those outside of Christ. We've had time in our past to live according to the customs of those around us and to follow their ways. We've had time to do that, but now we've been made holy. And he's going to list some words. And these words are not a specific meaning. They cover a huge, broad area of life. And I'll try to point out some of those as we go through it. It's not just one thing. It's a big swath of paint. So you can learn how to make distinctions so you can tell what's holy and what's unholy in the will of God. Continue on, verse 3. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires, there's your customs, of the Gentiles. Now here's what our desires were. Having pursued a course of sensuality. There's a lot of meanings in that word, sensuality. Sensuality is shameless conduct in the eyes of God. Shameless conduct, and it's mostly of conduct that's indecent. Indecent gestures, indecent words, those are all sensual. Pornography stirs sensuality. All these things that the customs of the world are. I've separated you from that. Don't you be pursuing those things. That's the course that those lost pursued. And maybe at one time in your life, you pursued those very things. You know, being rude is sensual. Being disrespectful to authority, that's sensuality. See, it covers this broad swath. You ever thought about being rude to somebody? You ever thought about shameless conduct and the idea of disrespectful? You don't be disrespectful, especially to authority. Jesus wasn't disrespectful. And He's the one that brought us our sanctification. Sensuality should not be a part of our lives. We need to be able to look at our lives and realize this is something that's coming at me and wants to draw me over. Will you make that distinction? I can't do that. Look at the next word He brings into this. Sensuality, lusts. Lusts. Again, it's a broad thing. Lusts are something that stirs your desire to want. A lot of times, you know why people get themselves in trouble financially? Lusts. They want. And they'll do whatever they want to do, and they'll put themselves in a financial difficulty knowing they can't afford it. But they do it anyway. Lusts. Not only that, lust can be an enticement to the eyes. Things that you see. You go back and you read Matthew 14. There was a lady there, Herodias. She was the wife of Herod's brother, Philip. And Herod wanted her. And Herod used to talk to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist told Herod, it is unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. Well, Herodias hated that. And as a result, she hated John. So you know what they did one day? Herodias brought her daughter before King Herod. And she danced. And it was lustful. It was sensual. And so it moved Herod enough that he went to the daughter and said, whatever you want, I'll give you. That's a bold statement for a king to make. And you know what her mother asked for? I want John the Baptist's head. Cut it off. Well, Herod had a respect for John. And it grieved him. But because he made a promise, he had John the Baptist taken out and they cut off his head. Why? Lusts. A desire to want. See what? Lust doesn't do any good. When you desire things, a lot of times, and we're talking again, I'll bring back into focus about wanting to gain things, buy things, people not content with what they have, people not content with where they are, their lust gets stirred. And you know what? There is nothing holy about lusts. Sensualities, lusts, they're all against the Lord. You've had time to do that in your past, but now we need to pursue the sanctification, the holiness of God's will. Let's continue on. Having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness. I don't think I need to explain that one. Intoxicated. But you know what that also includes? Drugs. You can be intoxicated with drugs and you lose control. That's the course of the world. And that's what God's called us out of. I want you to do my will, and drunkenness is not my will. It is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. So to be intoxicated with alcoholic beverages or to be intoxicated with drugs, things that take you out of reality, those are sinful. There's nothing holy about that. But then, let's take the next one. This is one that we need to pay attention to. Carousing. Now, how many times you hear that word in our language? Are you a carouser? You know, we don't hear that a lot. Carousals. Carousing. Carousing is a party type of experience. You know, you go to this party and there's all of this dancing and all of this stuff going on. Let me give you one. A carousal, when your favorite team wins a championship. What do people do in the streets? They take to the streets and they're out there, they're reveling, they're carousing, they're making all this party. They tear down things, they damage things, there's drinking involved. That's carousing. Mardi Gras, where people take to the streets and they do all of these shameful things, shameful conduct. You'll find sensuality and lust in Mardi Gras. And there's such a draw for man. I've got to make a distinction. Is this holy before God? Is this who I am before God? Or am I going to follow the customs of the world? Carousals. And then he takes us into the next one. Look at the next one. Drinking parties. And that's translated properly. It means exactly what it says. It's where you gather together to have drinks. Sometimes, hey, let's go meet at such and such place. It's happy hour. That is a drinking party. Sometimes we want to invite our friends. Come on, let's go have a drink. Or let's go to a barbecue. And at the barbecue, what do they want to offer? What do they bring? Drinking. It's not wrong to barbecue, but you got to know what you're getting yourself into attending. Pursue the sanctification, the holiness of God, or you will not see the Lord. Or what he told them back there, you pursue the customs and the things of what the nations around you did. I abhorred them. Abhorred. But then he brings up another interesting one after that. After drinking parties, abominable idolatries. That's another one we don't talk about. You know, we don't, daily life, abominable. That means unlawful. It's unlawful meetings where you idolize something, where you put them ahead of God. Back in the 30s, there was a thing called prohibition. And in prohibition, they outlawed alcohol. And there would be these secret gatherings around places to where they could come together and drink. That is an abominable idolatry. It's unlawful. You know, in our laws of our day and time, it's against the law to have a public gathering for individuals and gamble. And how many times people always say, hey, let's come over Thursday night. Let's gamble. Let's play poker. That's an abominable idolatry. And these things will cost you your soul. You've got to pursue holiness, or you're not going to see the Lord. See, this is a wide range of things these things cover. And for anyone to tell you that it's okay to carouse, take through the streets, and act like everybody else acts, whether defiantly or whatever they do, that is sinful. Or people, a lot of times, they uphold drinking parties. There's nothing wrong with getting together and having a drink. That covers it right there. You need to make a distinction. Who you are in the presence of God and the customs that the world says, these will cost you your soul. We are called individually here, all of us. You've got to make distinctions in your life. That's what the sanctification calls us to do. Look at verse 4. In all of this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the excesses of dissipation. And they malign you. Excesses of dissipation. I'll tell you what that is. Things that don't pertain to salvation. None of these things pertain to salvation. None of these things pertain to what God's called us to through Jesus. We're holy people. And he said, they're surprised that you don't run with him. Maybe in your past, maybe you ran with people like this. Now they're shocked that you don't do that anymore. And they need to be shocked about it, because you're teaching them a lesson that salvation means something to you. You can't go along to the customs of the world and the ideas of the world and expect to be with God in the end. It isn't going to happen. That's just a fact. But look at verse 5. But they, those that malign you, those that run into these things, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and dead. There will be accountability. And that's why there will be greater accountability for you and I. For we've been sanctified. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And now to go run off into those things and make no distinguishments, there will be an accountability. And it will be a greater accountability, because the holiness of Jesus and your holiness to God, you take very little meaning in your heart with. This is serious stuff. These are serious things, and we need to be aware whenever we're going to get involved in a situation, is this pursuing the holiness of God? Would God be pleased with me if I do these things? Follow my desires. Because I want something. I want to do something. Would that please God? You got to make distinguishments. You and I need to see this. Because a life of faith will take you all the way to the end because you're concerned about what's holy. Because I'm holy. I'm holy. I remember my family, my kids, especially when they were younger. I remember I used to tell them, drop them off at school or somewhere, remember who you are. Not whose. Remember who you are. You are sanctified. You are holy. You're a saint. Remember what that means to God. And watch what you get yourself into. Do you remember that? Are we a people that are concerned about that? Are you pursuing holiness in your life? Are you making distinctions? I pray we are. Brethren, we've got everything to lose. And you've got nothing to gain by following the other. I separated you from the people, God said. And Jesus took and separated us to God. And we need to live like it means something to us. And show some respect for Jesus and for God because of it. I pray it encourages you. I pray it helps you. Examine your own life and see if this is what you're doing.